Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, visit audiblepodcast.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 105, July 10th, 2013. Bob launches another antenna. Good evening, everybody. This is K9EID from the Ozarks this week, and we are here this week. We were dormant last week because the studio was dark, so we had no lighting or cameras. So we're all back this week, though, and I hope everybody had a good 4th of July. And here's my cohort, Mr. Gordon West. Gordo, how'd you do? You didn't blow your fingers off or anything, did you, last week?
No, not at all. But the fireworks are still happening after the 4th of July. Listen to this, Bob. That's the Hawaiian beacon coming in on 2 meters for the last 3 or 4 days. Just amazing. We'll learn more about that in a few. Bob, back to you.
Well, it's been pretty good on 6 meters. I haven't been around all that much. I was back at the plant over the weekend and Monday, but you guys all worked it, so I left room for you. Don, how are you doing down in the good old South? Are you doing well? Uh-oh, you blew a finger off.
I blew my finger.
No, it's still there. I had a great Fourth. It was very low key. We did no fireworks at all down here in around New Orleans and South Mississippi. The big fireworks time is New Year's Eve, not the 4th. I mean, they sell them down here for the 4th, but the big time is New Year's Eve. So we try to save our fireworks stuff for New Year's Eve. I did need to play a little ham radio because I had a nice 4-day weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which was awfully nice. So we had a good time down here.
Good. That's great. Well, George is going to be with us. He's getting his soldering all fired up, and he's going to be with us in a little bit. And we're going to bring Dale on in just a minute. He's really got a lot of information about all the new video stuff we're doing here at Ham Nation. But one thing I want to do before we get started, I have on my Collins shirt tonight. I'm so proud to be a part of this organization. And if you guys haven't seen this, their magazine is called The Signal. And I want to tell you, look at the printing in this thing. It is amazing. And the quality of this is unsurpassed. I have never seen a magazine like this. It is just fantastic. The pictures are great. But all of the articles about how to repair things and how to operate things and hook it up and that. And you don't always have to be a Collins owner. You just have to have an interest. And one of the fun things that I do is Tuesday and Thursday night. Write this down. That's what these things are for right here. write it down. Tuesday and Thursday at 8 o'clock. Around 3805. Boy, we have a lot of fun. And then there are a lot of other nets. There's a 20-meter one on Sundays. But you'll get all that information going to the Collins site. And, oh, man, we've been having so much fun there. I'm a little like a recluse now. I've been using the 20A and 600L, but the receiver is a 75A4. So, but boy, that collie, I tell you, they are really coming on. Gordo, have you seen the new Signal? Have you seen this?
No, I've got to get a copy of that.
Whoa. I'm telling you, the print is just astonishing. And I, of course, get a lot of fun out of reading all the things about the old times. I'm an old guy here. But Bill Carnes is really heading all that up, and I think he's doing a great job. Of course, K0DEW, he's the founder. And Gordo, you know about Bill Wheeler. He's the guy that's ramrodding the Hemfest here in Lebanon in November. And has one of the most extensive Collins displays in his home. So we'll go visit it. And I told him that when you and I came to see his Collins collection, that we were bringing my big truck. And while you were keeping him in one corner, I would be out the back. And then when I kept him in the other, that'll work, won't it?
I think it will work. Big truck.
And we can drive it back home. Yeah. Anyway, seriously, the Collins Collectors Association is something else. I just want to tell you, I've been having so much fun there. Of course, I've been there for many, many years. But check it out with us. Join us on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Well, we have kind of a new deal here on Ham Nation. We love your videos and we love your pictures, but we wanted to somehow to make them even better than what you shoot. And all of us, and I'm the worst at making videos, as you're going to see in about half an hour, but Dale has joined us. He's one of the AfterNet operators. But Dale, are you there with K0HYD? What a great job you're doing.
Hey, we're trying. It's been a blast. We had a great weekend there. I even got on 6 meters and had a half-hour CUSO with the guy in Richmond, Virginia. So that was a lot of fun. Then we worked the 13 Colonies special events, got a clean sweep there, and even worked the William Penn Station. So it's been a good weekend, and we had to get really busy on Monday and Tuesday and get these videos together for you.
You know, you guys did such a great special event, and I wanted to cover this tonight, and I thought you'd be the guy to give us just a minute or so. A lot of guys and gals watching tonight might not know about this colony thing. That's a really cool thing. Tell us a little bit about what went on there.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. They have 13 stations, one in each, one call sign in each of the 13 original colonies. And they're on the air most of the time from about 8 in the morning till around midnight or a little after. And the objective is to work one at least, and you can get a certificate. And they've got the flags of all the 13 colonies on it. And then you can get a QSL card from each one of the stations just by sending them a QSL card and a self-addressed stamped envelope. And it celebrates the Independence Day holidays. It starts on a Sunday, and it ran through Saturday night last week. So it was a lot of fun. And I guess the William 3 Penn Station was the hardest to get, but I got him there before not too long after the 4th. So it was a blast.
This special events are so much fun. The biggie's coming up here. We'll keep you posted on this, the Route 66 that happens in September. We'll keep you abreast of that and some of the others. And it just makes ham radio so much fun. But we have to somehow make that fun available with one of these things. And a lot of us, including me, know what to do with it. Dale, the platform is all yours. Help us, please.
Well, we're going to have some fun tonight, Bob. We've got an action-packed selection of videos, a couple of teaching points here and there video-wise. We'll try to do those after the fact, after you've had a chance to watch on your own. So we'll jump right in now. And the first came from Scott Peterson. He's with the Gears Club out in Northern California. And he used to work for the television station there, so he arranged for us to get permission to use their field day coverage from the NBC station, 1224. And let's take a look now and see how the pros tell the field day story.
What would you do in an emergency if all radio communications were cut off? The Golden Empire Amateur Radio Society can set up their equipment anywhere and communicate with radio signals all around the world. Action News Now reporter Renee Crane caught up with the group as they set up for their 15th annual field day.
Amateur radio began in the 19th century and was vital for communicating during both world wars. Gene Wright, a Marine Corps veteran, remembers using AM radio to speak with his wife in the U.S. all the way from Japan.
Technology today is just going hog wild.
Today, the Gears Amateur Radio Society Field Day was held in Forest Ranch, which included 3 6-meter antennas. The field day started at 11 a.m. and will operate for 24 hours until Sunday. Their goal is to communicate with as many people as they can all around the world.
And you never know who's going to come back to you. It could be somebody, you know, 50 miles away. It could be somebody 500 miles away.
Right behind me, there's radio signals from all around the United States and Canada. Emergency situations, including Hurricane Sandy and the Con Cal fires, utilized ham radio to communicate for help.
If this was an emergency communications situation, we could come up, set up like this, and stay here for a week.
Years ago, during the Chico flood, Chico was cut off from all communications, and ham radio was able to set up at the shelters. Today, the group camped out and began to test their equipment while streaming live on their channel.
If we make a contact here, we give them the information that we're 3-alpha, which means we have 3 transmitters operating.
Reporting for Action News Now, I'm Renee Crane.
Did you notice how they shot everything on a tripod? There was no shake, no shutter. And Scott says they only made one mistake as far as the reporter there. She said they had 3 6-meter antennas, but they actually had an assortment of wire antennas and 1 2-meter beam. But we can get them, we can let them get by with that, I think. So next up, we've got a video from Jeremy Cullinay in Alexandria, Virginia. He describes his 40-meter field day station. He had a lot of good ideas when he set it up and when he built the station, and I think we can all learn from it. Let's roll the tape.
And here we are at 2013 field day, and I just wanted to go over my station setup. First of all, my primary station is kept in one of the famous Gator cases. This one in particular has luggage wheels on one side, and over on the other, we've got a luggage handle, handy for getting it places. In this particular setup, I have a Yaesu FT450D for HF, a Kenwood TMD710 for analog 2-meter 440, and an ICOM ID880 for D-Star capability. And then we also have a drawer for bits and bobs, odds and ends. This all gets covered up, of course. Here at field day, I am running an ASUS netbook, which has been stripped down to give me every last ounce of performance possible. This guy's about 2 years old, and the main reason I won't get rid of her is, if you follow the cabling here, I was able to find a 12-volt laptop adapter from Radio Shack, so I can actually power this off my power unit, which I've done a video on before. As you can see, we are hooked into panels, and the maximum power point tracking is doing a real good job of generating energy right now. Our batteries are at a 14.02 nominal voltage. They are fully charged. Of course, we have the rig runner, as always, to provide power. Open it up. Nothing has changed inside except, again, I have the battery booster, or a boost regulator is in addition, but I'm not using it. We still have the SunSaver maximum power point tracker, which I will be experimenting with another one here sometime in the next couple months with the Genesun. And I've still got my 2 batteries down there. Now, last year, I ran this off of a Goal Zero Yeti battery box with Goal Zero panels, but this year, I am running off of a 120-watt power film foldable flexible panel array. We have this on the south facing side of the Easy Up, and I'd say we probably have maybe 25 or 30% of our total solar surface area overhanging the sides. We might try to adjust that a little bit, but otherwise this is my station for field day 2013 here with W4HFH at Armistead Booth Park in Alexandria, Virginia.
Well, thank you very much, Jeremy, and that was quite interesting. I especially like that flexible solar panel. That was something else to see. Jeremy's original video was around 10 minutes long when he sent it in, but he was kind enough to shorten it for us so we could get it on the air here at Ham Nation. We're going to move now to show you what you can do with a series of photos. We got a series like that from Ray Novak, N9JA. He's our friendly ICOM representative. And the photos show you how you don't really need a DSLR to get good photographs if you zoom with your feet like we spoke about in the session a couple of episodes ago. He shot it with an iPad. So take a look at some of the sequences and things and see what you think. Ray didn't have time to narrate the story, but he supplied the captions for all the slides. We then took a selection of slides and produced a video to illustrate a technique you can use to tell your photo story here on Ham Nation. Let's watch it now. The Rochester Amateur Radio Club Field Day Adventure took place at the Game Haven Council Scout Camp just outside of Rochester. Even local NBC affiliate KTTC stopped by. The club operated 3A with two CW stations, a single sideband station, ran VHF and up, and a GOTA station that was swamped by Boy Scouts. CW2 used a tri-band Yagi on a military 577 Alpha Bravo tower and a 40-meter vertical dipole. Grant, K1KD, worked the pileups with an IC7700. Power output was maintained at less than 150 watts, but even at this power, there was a heavy load on the power generator. Dr. Scott Wright, K0MD, was the first single sideband operator on Saturday. Then Ray, N9JA, pulled a four-hour shift. The Scouts not only got to see the club operate, they made themselves right at home and took the D-104 in hand. The club also gave a demonstration of APRS and how it's used to track weather information. And speaking of VHF and above, Mel Larson, KC0P, managed to grab everything he could hear. Yet not everything was perfect on this field day. Club members had to deal with Mother Nature. Luckily, their off-air time was limited. Well, thanks, Ray. Did you notice how Ray used an establishing shot, some long shots, medium shots, and some close-ups in several sequences there? Those photos were timed to the narration and music using the Ken Burns effect. We did it with the Aperture photo editing program. So that's the kind of thing you can do with still photos here and make a nice, snappy little video. That one ran just a little bit over 1 minute, actually about a minute 25. Our next video brings Scott Peterson back. He sent us a 10 to 12 minute video, too, describing his MCOM van, and asked him if he could edit it down to a minute 30 to 2 minutes. He did, and we'll take a look right now.
Here's a quick recording I did of the XR0YB de-expedition on Easter Island. On the left is the KX3 utility. On the right is the Panadapter. The KX3 utility is actually decoding the Morse code, and you'll see him. He says, thank you, gives his call sign, and then says, up. And you'll notice on the right, the pile-up building, nice and bright and pink. What you'll also notice is this station here. Yes, he's calling on top of the DX station, which is not what you want to do. As the DX station responds, the pilot quiets down so that they can make the exchange. And then once he says up, they start right back in it again. This next video is me actually turning the knob on the KX3. My Flex 3000 doesn't have a knob, so tuning like this is not something I can do. But it's definitely fun here, and you can see them working together.
Okay, we've got our videos just a little bit out of sequence. That was Monty Allen. He's Kilo 4 Mike Tango X-Ray, and he sent that interesting. He sent an interesting tour of his station, but it needed a bit of editing before we could use it here. So I gave him some ideas, and he's going to do that now. But he did have that nice instructional video about a DX pileup and wanted to show us what it looked like on a pan adapter, so we brought that in. We'll move back now and pick up Scott. Scott's been a broadcaster for 20 years. He has an EMCOM van that he bought from the station back in the 90s, and he's turned it into quite an operation. Let's go ahead and take a look.
What's your radio? Emergency services, EMCOM van, AE6 VUS, and here I am. in my Aries Ecom van. Set up, I'm charging my batteries. I have an antenna up there too. Here's inside behind rack one. Here is the battery compartment, only one battery right now. And we're charging. As you can hear it running in the background, it's a 4-kilowatt generator with external exhaust going up through the roof area. You open the service door, and we see all my tools. Tools, tools, and more tools. And there's an air compressor back there. The air compressor is for that 50-foot mast antenna. Oh, and don't forget the fridge. Okay, so remember, don't operate this within 10 feet of high voltage lines. You get zapped. Into the inner workings of the van. We're watching the national news right now. Antenna tuner on the top with a 4-channel video surveillance. There's my laptop computer for Echolink and APRS. This other computer is not on right now with two monitors. It runs Ham Radio Deluxe and an IP server. There's my Yaesu 857. And on top is going to be a Blade server from Dell that's not active yet. There's the electrical control panel. And my co-pilot, Solar. Hello, Solar. There he is. And this is KE6VUS and KE6VUS-Puppy1. We're out of here.
Okay, Scott. Thank you very much there for that video.
The amateur radio.
Scott says he'd like to turn that van into a mobile unit for Ham Nation. So we'll have to see what we can arrange. He said he has about four cameras and editing stations and all kinds of stuff in that van, as well as all the radio gear. So could be quite interesting down the line there. Well, we've sort of saved the best for last. We want to do a plug first. Our final video for this episode of Ham Nation came to us from Randy. You're familiar with him, K7AGE, and his video site on YouTube. We'd like to give him a plug right now. If you get a chance, go to www.youtube.com/K7AGE. Brian's brought it up on the screen right now. If you scroll down three or four rows, you'll see a fantastic video about 2013 Hamvention at Dayton. It is a dynamite video. It's cut to the beat of India. That's one of the tracks on Joe Walsh's Analog Man album. And we think you ought to check it out. So, in the meantime, we couldn't play it here because of copyright issues with the music. But in the meantime, Randy introduced us to a new 9-year-old talent. He's a ham, just got his license, and he's a video commentator. And let's watch.
Hi, I'm Scott. My call sign is KD0WBB. Or as we say on the air, Kilo Delta Zero, Whiskey Bravo Bravo. I'm making a series of videos to document my adventures in ham radio. And I'm also going to make another series of videos to help people get their technician license, which is the license that I currently have now. I just passed my test in Estes Park at the HamCon with my dad and my grandpa. This video is about what is amateur radio and three reasons why amateur radio is fun. So let's start out with what is amateur radio. It's basically a hobby done by people all around the world. And it's actually not that hard to understand. All you have to do is know some basic math, some rules, and memorize a few numbers. Any kid can get their amateur license, actually. But I'm 9. I was lucky enough for my dad and my grandpa to have their licenses, too. So now let's go for three reasons why amateur radio is a fun hobby. So, number one, it works when cell phones don't, and especially it works good during an emergency when cell phones don't. You can talk to people all around the world, and you can build your own antennas by buying stuff at Home Depot or any of those hardware stores near your house. Before I close this video, I want to give a shout out to two YouTubers who really inspired me to get my amateur radio license and start a YouTube channel. Number one His name is David, and his call sign is KF7ETX. His YouTube channel is called USNERDoc, spelled USNERDOC. The second YouTuber that I really wanted to give a shout-out to, his call sign is K7AGE, and his name is Randy. So 73 to you both if you ever see this. I'm coming to you from QTH, my house in colorful Colorado. I wish you 73, and I hope you see my next video. Out.
Okay, great, Scott. Great job, Scott. That was fantastic. And I think we'll have a special treat for you coming up in a week or so or a month, maybe. I'm not sure quite when it will happen. But Randy's planning on recording both ends of a QSO with Scott sometime in the near future here. And we hope to premiere it for you on Ham Nation. About that last video now. Normally, we do not like to receive talking head videos. And that's sort of what you would describe as a talking head video. We see enough of those commentators on the regular broadcast news channels. But this one was kind of special, or at least we thought it was. So I'm sure Randy will be teaching this young ham videographer about the merits of the B-roll. And I kind of think we'll see a lot of nice videos from him in the future. We'll be standing by for those. Well, that wraps up the videos for tonight, but before we sign off, we'd like to take a few minutes and review what we learned watching the videos to help you out so you can get to the point where you can get your video and photo stories accepted here on Ham Nation the very first time you send the link to us. So we need to make a couple of points, and Brian can bring up the first slide. We'll see if you remember some of these things now that you watched these videos. Remember, you watched the commercial broadcast video from the news department and some other ones, and then you watched a couple of others. How about don't pan for the first lesson? How about rather than pan, you know, set that camera on a tripod, shoot yourself a sequence, establish the shot with a long shot, move in a little closer on the other side with a medium, and then go in real tight and get some eye contact or some equipment contact, and then do it over again with someone else. I think you'll think it works out pretty well. Shot length, you notice on the broadcast video, 1 second to 10 seconds is going to do it. If you watch Randy's video there on the K7AGE YouTube page, you're going to see 1 second or less shots. It's cut to the beat of the music and just absolutely amazing coverage of Dayton. So next point, use a tripod and zoom in. You know, walk in with the tripod and use your feet instead of the zoom on the lens. You don't have to do that all the time, but it's a good idea to do it most of the time. And keep it short, please. 1 minute, 30 seconds to 2 minutes. That's ideal for most event stories like a ham fest or a candy sidewalk sale or something like that. And the next point probably from you got from watching this maybe is add your narration while editing, not while you're shooting. That way you can concentrate on getting the good shots and then you can concentrate on doing a really good job of editing. Well, what else did we learn? Well, the videos you send must be narrated. Now, the reason for that is that we have many of the people that listen to Ham Nation do just that. They listen on an audio podcast, and they do not see the video and do not see the pictures. So narrate your video always. We had one good video in from a gentleman. It was really a good video with all music, and he was unable to narrate it for us this time, but he is aware of that now, and he's going to make another video here in the future and make sure he uses narration. Shouldn't be longer than 2 minutes. We don't want to keep repeating that, but we will. We have to fit a lot of videos into a very short space. The music must be DRM-free if you use it, and it must not be copyrighted. So remember that, or we won't be able to use your video. And there's a source there on the slide freepd.com and also publicdomain47.com. That's one source of public domain music, where you can find some public domain music you can download of all kinds and all beats and all varieties. So give that a try. A lot of your video editing programs have sample music in the public domain right on built right into the program that you can use also. And then last but not least, review the technique that we used in the Sidewalk Candy. And you can find that at www.youtube.com/DalePuckett. And just watch that a couple of times and watch what we were doing. And then try to emulate that when you shoot. It all happened on a tripod. It happened with sequences. And it happened with pretty quick editing. So give that a try. And finally, send your link to your video to Ham Nation Videos at twit.tv. And regarding deadlines, if you have a story that's time sensitive, say it's covering a ham fest or a speech or something like that, try to get it to us by 1 o'clock Zulu on Sunday. If you're wanting to get the video on the air for the next Wednesday show, we just about have it to get it that much in time to work it into the schedule. So about 1 o'clock Sunday, universal coordinated time there. And remember, we can't edit the videos for you. I had one gentleman send in a 10 to 12, 14 minute video that his club president said that we'd edit it for him. But we'd like to, but we just don't have the time with all the videos we get in. And the other problem, main problem, though, is I'm on a DSL connection, so I can only upload at 768 kilobits. And it take for an example, it took 90 minutes to upload that little video for Ray that we produced the other night. So, hey, Bob, George, Gordo, that's it. That wraps it up for the video section. 7-3 from the Wichita
What area. A great job. A great job. I'm going to give you homework on the next week or so. I want you to come back and explain to all of us about the Ken Burns effect, maybe the history, a little bit how it works and so on. Just a little thing like that. And, yeah, keep them to about 1 minute, 1.5, and we can handle that. That's great. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate this, and I hope everybody can get some videos to you. And make your club proud. Make yourself proud. Make it happen. That's what this show is all about. It's your show. I'm sorry.
We've got some good ones. Oh, sorry, Bob. We've got some good ones on deck. A gentleman shot a ham fest in Sweden. That's K5ARN. And he needed to narrate his, too, so he's working on that now. And it's interesting, but to compare the ham fest in the different parts of the world. They're very, very much alike. And then we've got another instructional series coming from George, the W4 there, that shot the video last week. He's going to tell us how to build an antenna, but not from the theory standpoint, from the practical how to do it standpoint. So I think that's going to be, it'll be a series, and I think it's going to be great. So stand by for those.
Well, thank you so much for your work. And Gordo, we're getting somewhere. What do you think? Oh, that was great.
Wow, I absolutely agree. What a great lesson that we've learned. And Pastor Jason, W6AUX, and I are learning all about Ham Radio Deluxe version. What version are we on, Jason?
6.0.
And do you like it?
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's a great suite, actually. It's not just one program. It's a suite of programs that includes the new Digital Master 780. And if you've ever tried to connect with PSK31, MT63, Olivia, or even CW using digital modes, there are some free programs out there. But wait till you try the new Digital Master 780. It's outstanding.
Oh, that's great. Well, we're continuing. We'll give you a full report on the Ham Radio Deluxe. Also, we're testing and finding out more and more about the great Ham Source EasyGate 80. Jason's going to be using this a lot to power his Coast Guard auxiliary station. And just a couple of quick videos. Brian, if you'll go ahead and roll those videos now. We aren't going to actually the still shots. We're not going to run them all. But in memory of Paul Lieb, K-868-CHME, next one. The Hawaiian beacon is coming in loud and clear. So, Brian, that's what it looks like on amateur television. And when we have just the right conditions, which we'll tell you about next week, and you can hold at that point, Brian, hold right there. We're going to tell you all about tropospheric ducting. We're going to talk about the Hawaiian beacon that is, well, as you can hear right now, it is coming in. Not real strong, but 2,500 miles, the Hawaiian beacon coming over here to the West Coast, thanks to this condition called tropospheric ducting. So, Bob, I know we're out of time, so next week we'll talk more about tropo, more about Paul Lieb's great legacy, and those hams in Hawaii that are waiting for us to get on the air. So, Bob, more videos, more still shots next week. Back to you, Bob.
All right. Well, that's a wonderful thing. And a lot of guys out in the Midwest and East Coast don't really realize how cool that is. So we want to hear more of that. Need to take some time and really get into it and get it moving. Well, I had an interesting thing yesterday I want to share with you. And Brian, if you want to run this, I put up another antenna, and really it has a use. It's a 75-meter omnidirectional. I have all of the things working so I can switch them east to west. But when I get in a big conversation with somebody in like Oklahoma and somebody in Ohio, what do you do? It's great for listening, but I needed an omni for transmitting. So here's what we did, and this is how we got it up. So let's go. W0ERE and 0SAP came here to help me. They brought their super-duper huge air cannon. Man, this thing was amazing. I've seen air cannons, but none this big. And they shot tennis balls out of it, but man, did it win. This is an 80-foot okay. tree we're going over. And here we go. And over that 80-foot tree went that ball. In fact, it went over quite a bit. And then on the other side, why Al went over to retrieve the ball. And they load that ball with BBs. And, man, it's heavy. But that's what you need to get it going. So then we took that parachute cable, is basically what they shoot up on the end of that that ball, and we tied it onto the rope and went on the other tree and blew it up there, and we pulled up the 75-meter coaxial dipole, and that works really, really good, and it allowed us to do some things. But trees also have other flags uses, here, you know.
Hey, Mr. Whoopin, I've got a lot of flags on my property.
It goes out every day.
Hey, boy, good American, man. Right on.
There was a great veteran saluting Sarah's American flag that we have mounted on one of those trees. But, boy, those air cannons, they're wonderful. They're dangerous. You got to be careful where you point them. But I was simply amazed to see that thing fly out of there so high. But now we have another antenna that I can switch to, and it works really nice. And, of course, we're using the Ameritron relays outside to do all of the switching. It's just wonderful. It allows us to have all these antennas working, so we're happy that everything's up and going again. So here we go, another antenna yet. I think we have a word from Leo. Let's see if we can get the word about Audible. So take her away, Leo.
Gordo, Bob, everybody, George, I hope you don't mind if I interrupt a little bit here, but I want to talk about my absolute favorite thing in the world. Well, I can think of, there are other things I like an awful lot, but I have to think that over the last 13 years as an Audible listener, that company has really saved my life so many times, saved me from road rage, helped me in the gym work out more. Because I'm listening to audiobooks. They're keeping my mind engaged while my body's working. They're keeping me from getting frustrated by the traffic. In fact, I have to tell you, when I started listening to Audible books in 2000, I was driving more than 2 hours a day back and forth to San Francisco to do the screensavers. And having those audiobooks, I kind of hoped for traffic jams. I didn't mind because I was listening to great stuff. And once you get engaged in a book, and in fact, I want you to try this. Get a book that really engages you. Once you get engaged in this book, you don't want it to end. And when you're listening and you're coming to the end of the chapter and you're home already, you'll drive around the block a couple times. You'll sit in the driveway just to get to the end of that chapter. Sometimes to listen to a chapter or two more. That's how good Audible is. You can try Audible absolutely free right now. They're offering listeners of Ham Nation a free audiobook just so you can try it. Because we know you might be a little bit, you know, I don't know, do I like audiobooks? Here's what you do. Go to audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. You'll be signing up for the gold account. That's the book every 30 days. Your first 30 days are free. In fact, if you cancel in the first 30 days, you'll pay nothing. But that book will always be yours to keep. And so many great choices for people who like to listen. Have you listened to the Steve Jobs biography yet by Walter Isaacson? That is an amazing book. And I have to say, you know, it's long. It's many hours. But listening to it, it whizzed by. 25 hours for free. Not that you should measure books by the length of time, but it is a pretty good deal. Audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. Pick that book or any number of books. 99.5% of all the books are single credit, and you won't pay anything if you cancel in the first 30 days. That book will always be yours to keep. I know you're going to like it. If you listen to podcasts, you're definitely ripe for audible.com. Have you tried it yet? Audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. Give it a try today. We now get you back to our great folks, our hams, my Elmers on Ham Nation.
Thank you, Leo. It's really great to have Audible with us, and it's a wonderful service. If you haven't tried it yet, you want to do that. And we'll be waiting to hear some of your reports on some of the books that you're reading. And Don, I know you read a lot of books, but maybe we shouldn't talk about some of those here. So take her away. Let me know what kind of news we have so we can share it with all of our Ham Nation audience.
I can do that. You know, while we're on the subject, I've been enjoying an Audible book myself here lately. We're just past the 4th of July. I've been listening to No Easy Day, which was it's an Audible book and a book in print as well. And it's by one of the Navy SEALs who participated in the Osama bin Laden capture. And No Easy Day. It really, really interesting, and I highly recommend that. But let's go ahead and get into the news of the day with Ham Radio from Amateur Radio Newsline. Roll that, please. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1873, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, July 10th, 2013. An interesting emergency communications drill as members of California's Los Angeles County Disaster Communication Service met at its Temple Station June 24th to practice sending data without the use of the Internet and without the use of any infrastructure. Deputy Hector Figueroa, KE6VRL, the Temple Station Systems Administrator for Communication, says that traffic handling was accomplished via the use of the amateur radio service and the narrowband emergency messaging software. The software is capable of running on various platforms and operating systems, making it easy to implement in a disaster. Most of the Disaster Communication Service volunteers were able to install and use the system in less than an hour. Most used battery power for their computers and battery-powered radios to send the National Incident Command System messages to request support, report damage, and provide health and welfare traffic. Members of the City of Rosemead staff also participated in the demonstration and training, while volunteers from San Dimas, Temple City, and Pasadena were on hand to practice and gain valuable experience. A 16-year-old extra-class amateur from Bloomington, Indiana, has been selected as the 2013 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year. Mark Abramovich, NT3V.
I'm not sure what to think. I'm happy.
And that's how it sounded when Padrigli Sandru, KC9UUS, heard the news he had been selected the Young Ham of the Year. He conceded he had heard what he called rumors that he was being nominated for something, but it didn't sink in until getting the call from our Newsline headquarters that he might be recognized for his achievements. Lissandru was born in Illinois, but has family in Cyprus. He says his interest in ham radio was actually sparked by his mom, Carolyn, KC9URR, who was a pretty serious shortwave radio listener. Neil Rapp is WB9VPG, who teaches chemistry at Bloomington High School South and met Padrig in class. It was Rapp who introduced Lissandru to a whole new world, and Lissandru, who just turned 16, says it didn't take him long to climb the license ladder. His technician was earned in October 2011, General in December 2011, and extra in January 2012. Lissandru says participation in the school club roundup and the program on the Peter Island de-expedition really sparked his interest in DX.
I decided to lead my own little expedition, de-expedition to Cyprus. I brought a buddy pole, about the Yaizu FT-897, some coax, step-down transformer, batteries, the whole shebang. And my mom and I transmitted in Cyprus. And then I decided to write. And I just thought it would be cool to write an article for QST.
That was last summer. And the article, A Crazy Idea, A De-Expedition to Cyprus, was accepted and published as the QST cover story in this past May's edition.
I transmitted on two different mountain regions. I transmitted on a couple different beaches. I transmitted in hotels, yes. I transmitted on the top of this house by the beach that someone let us borrow. I transmitted really anywhere I could.
Word of his de-expedition spread before the article was published, and Lissandrou says he was invited to be a presenter at the Dayton Hamvention Youth Forum this past May, run by Carol Perry, WB2 MGP. We here at Amateur Radio Newsline are proud to have Padraig Lissandrou, KC9 UUS, join our distinguished honor roll as the 2013 Young Ham of the Year.
There's lots more in Mark's report, so be sure to check out arnewsline.org for more on Padraig Lissandrou, KC9 UUS. We hope to see you at the Huntsville Ham Fest in Alabama Saturday, August 17th, as we present this year's award. But if you can't be there in person, you can, of course, join us online via Tom Medlin and his live streaming. You'll find that at W5KUB.com. And finally this week, we've lost a member of the Newsline family, Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, on the life of Don Carlson, KQ6 FM.
A lifelong broadcaster by profession. During his career, Don, at times using the stage name Don Murray, worked at numerous radio stations throughout California and Nevada. Don also owned a voice talent company called The Voice Shop. From there, he provided commercials and other announcements for numerous radio and television stations across the United States. In the world of ham radio, Don's activities included ARRL appointments in California, Nevada, and at the national level. KQ6 FM was also a member of the ARRL's National Public Relations Committee. Don's passion for Aries and emergency service in general led him to become the voice of the annual MCOM West Emergency Communications Ham Radio Gathering. Don not only emceed the event, but also supported the convention by serving on the board of directors. In 2010, he was named as the ARRL Pacific Division Ham of the Year. Don Carlson, KQ6 FM, is survived by his wife Judy and son Andrew.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news, brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the Huntsville Ham Fest and meeting our young ham of the year, Padraig Lissandrou. It's going to be a great time. And you know what? You're going to be at the Huntsville Ham Fest coming up here in, about 5 weeks or so. You might want to check out this new ICOM IC7100. You've heard the buzz earlier this year. You probably saw it at Dayton in May. Well, summer is here, and it's available for sale right now. The new IC7100 HF, VHF, UHF mobile, multiband, all mode operation right at your fingertips. Now, let's take a look at that ICOMAmerica.com website, and we'll talk about what sets the 7100 apart from a lot of other radios. Well, the intuitive touchscreen interface, for one, very easy operation. It has a smart menu system. The context and the mode items are all right there at your fingertips, literally, because it is touchscreen. A new design control head with an easy-to-read display that is on an angle, so very easy to see. The speaker is built right into the head piece right there. 32-bit IF DSP, that famous ICOM DSP, nothing better. D-Star ready and near repeater functionality as well. Has a built-in SD card slot for voice and log storage and a whole lot more. You need to watch that video right there, and it will show you all of the details on the new ICOM IC7100. It has been approved. It is for sale right now at your favorite candy store. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. You can find out more product information and a whole lot more. And also, while you're there, enter the weekly drawing for the ICOM swag, T-shirts and hats and all kinds of stuff. And don't forget to check out the details on the monthly grand prize drawing from ICOM for a wonderful ICOM radio. It's ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. The official rules are there. Check out all of ICOM's previous drawing winners. Sign up. Good luck. And we are very, very happy to have ICOM as a sponsor of Ham Nation. And I believe my friend George, W5JDX, has information on the radio that's going to be given away. George, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Don. I do have information. You know, last month ICOM was giving away an ID880H dual band VHF UHF mobile with D-Star, and we had a winner on that, and that was Robert H. KJ6RCK. Congratulations, Robert. And this month, ICOM will be giving away that new ID51A VHF UHF dual band transceiver with D-Star. It's got full watch, full dual watch receivers, built-in GPS, near me repeater lift up function, automatic position relay, and a micro SD card for voice and log storage and data cloning. And it's got a lot more. So if you'd like to win that, and I don't know why you wouldn't, go register this evening after the show and after every episode of Ham Nation this month at icomamerica.com/hamnation. And I know we're running a little over, so let's get right on into smoke and solder for this week. This week, we're going to do a little smoke and desolder. That's right, we're going to actually remove some solder from this PC board. This is an old power supply from a computer. I'm not going to try to salvage it. It looks like the transformer has burned up here. So I'm not going to try to repair this, but I'm going to take a few parts off of it that might be handy. Right here, I've got two 680 microfarad 200 volt capacitors. And I'm just taking these off as an example. They might be handy for something one day. The first one I'm going to remove using what I consider the traditional method, which is using a combination of a vacuum solder sucker or desoldering pump, whatever you want to call it, and a little bit of solder wick as well. Now, this is that braid that we can put on here and heat up, and the solder is supposed to suck out into the braid and away from the PC board. Now, if all we're going to do is scavenge parts off of here, we can just take the soldering iron and heat the connections and probably pull the capacitor from the bottom. What I'm going to show you how to do today is how to remove the capacitor without damaging the PC board in the process. First thing I'm going to do is use a fairly good-sized soldering tip on here because this is not a real small component. And I want to get as much heat as I can down here to melt this solder. We'll try our desoldering pump first. I'll heat up the connection till the solder is flowing freely there, put the pump over the top, and then pull the trigger. As you can see there, some of the solder came off, some of it didn't. It looks like that time we got all the solder off. So that's good. It's not always the case. Let's go for the other one now. And let's see if the capacitor will come off. No problem at all in this case. It was glued on there, and I had cut the glue off previously. Now, the reason this came off so easy is because these holes are fairly big where the capacitor leads went through. But we're going to try something a little more challenging now. This is an old DSL modem board from Telosity, a company that's been out of business for a number of years. This was my first high-speed internet. And it's all surface mount components on here, and I'm not going to try to salvage any of those. We could take off one of these connectors on the rear here. Here's a Cat5 connector. Let's see if we can desolder those 8 connections there. Now, did those pins release? No, that one's still stuck. That one's stuck. That one's stuck, that one. So they're all still stuck. Try a little bit of the solder wick now, and that will probably get them on off. Let's see if they're loose now. That one is. That's the only one, though. That's still the only one that's loose. We can pry on these others and maybe get them loose. Sometimes when you do that, though, you tear up the trace on the board. So now we got three of them loose, but that one's still kind of stubborn. Let's go back to the solder wick one more time. Still not loose. And we're actually starting to do some damage to the PC board now. So just a little bit of flux to the solder wick and see if that won't finally get it on off. Took quite a bit of pressure, though, but we've got the back pins loose now. Actually, we got two of them loose. There we go. This row up here is still tight. And you saw how long it took me to loosen up those pins using the solder wick. This is a tool I bought recently. It's a Tenma brand vacuum desoldering station. And I've never owned one of these or even used one of these before. But I've really enjoyed this one. It's kind of pricey. This was on the budget end of desoldering stations. It was around $300, but it's got a nice transformer unit here with the vacuum pump built in, a digital display, and a knob here that allow us to adjust the temperature. There's a two-position switch. We can set it to read or to set. I've got it set here for 704 degrees. If I flip it over to read, we can see that it's maintaining it pretty close to that temperature. There's one cable here that goes to the soldering iron part of this. And there's a hose here that goes to the vacuum pump and, of course, an on-off switch. And the vacuum pump is a little handheld unit here. You can see there's a lot of solder in there now where I've been using this. There's a little piece of steel wool in here that catches the solder when it's sucked inside. And then there's a felt filter in the rear here that catches the flux to keep that from going down in the hose and getting in the vacuum. Now, you need to clean these things fairly frequently. Fortunately, this one came with a little cleaning tool here. It looks just like a spring. And you just ram that through there every now and then to poke out any solder that does get stuck in there. And it does get stuck in there occasionally. Basically, the way you use this is you put it down on the component that you want to desolder right over the leg, wiggle it around a little bit, and then pull the trigger to activate the pump. It works pretty good. I've been real impressed with it. It says it's got a 24-volt, 50-watt element in it here, so it'll get pretty warm. And the reason I chose this one is because of the price. It had good reviews, and you can easily get replacement tips for it, as well as the filters. And it came with some as well, but I ordered a few extra just in case. As I mentioned, I've really enjoyed using this. It makes desoldering much quicker, but at the price, I can't recommend that every hobbyist rush out and buy a desoldering station. Now let's try one just strictly using the desoldering station. Let's take a little more challenge. This one here has 8 connections on it, but it's also got 4 tabs here on the side. Now that would be quite a bit of work to get off the traditional method, but let's try the desoldering station on it. We'll wiggle it around a little bit to make sure that we've got the heat transferred all the way through. Thank you. check those four. That one. That one's still a little tight. All of them were loose except this one. And I imagine a quick touch up on it. It'll be loose as well. Yeah, it's loose too. So all eight of those went pretty quick. Now, they're a little bit pricey, and I can't recommend that everyone get one. This one was more or less on the economical end. It wasn't but $300. So that's more than the average hobbyist would want to spend on something to desolder with. But if you do a lot of it, it sure will save you a lot of time. So there you go. My desoldering experiences, I've really been enjoying that thing, and it sure saves me a lot of time. Well, I got a couple of builds I want to tell you about real quick here coming up. We'll be building the TNC Pi starting next week, and you can get that from, I don't see the link there, and I don't remember it, but it's only $40. And yes, that's at tnc-x.com. And after that, we're going to be building this MFJ Versatuner 2 kit. It's the MFJ 941EK. It's a 300-watt T-Network HF tuner with SWR and power meters, a 8-position RF switch, a built-in ballon. And if you want to build along with me on that, then go to mfjenterprises.com and look for the MFJ 941EK. It's $129.95. And it's really going to be a lot of fun. So check that out. And it was 2 weeks ago, I asked a question, what year was the first field day? And I got an answer on that from Henry, N5SEB. And he said, if online is correct, it was 1933, way before either of our time. So you're right, Henry. You're going to win this assortment of crimp terminals from CheapHam.com. Thanks, Frank and Cheap Ham, for donating this little kit here. And next week, we've got another question here, and this involves little crimp-on terminals. What would be the name for this style of crimp connector right here? If you think you know, then send your answer to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win this MFJ dual 24-hour clock, set one to your local time, one to UTC time, and you'll know what time it is wherever you are in the world. So with that, I'll turn it back to Bob.
Good job, George. All right. Everybody needs the clock, that's for sure. Well, we're so over time, it's crazy, but let's head up to Northern Illinois. Cheryl, how are you doing tonight? And we'll see what we can do in a minute. Nice to see you. Everything okay?
Hey, nice to see you too, Bob. As always, you're so tan. I just can't get over it. Whatever you've been doing, I hope you had a great 4th. I hope everybody else had a great 4th. We still survived the 4th of July. We're all here. We have all our fingers and digits, so that's a good thing. And hi, everyone, to the chat room, on the podcast, in the future. And let's just take a look at a question or two in the minute that we have. But first out, I'd like to just make one quick announcement on behalf of KC9, RIJ, Wisconsin guy. He says, speaking of HamFest, Chippewa Valley Tailgate HamFest, July 20th, 2013, in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Their website is w9cva.org. So that's that one. And hopefully if you're in Wisconsin or nearby, you can stop in at that. Now, the question I have is, hello, is Gordo online tonight or is he with us?
I'm here.
I'm so glad. Great. You know, I've got the question that's kind of a double question here. If this is the only one we can get in, it's good, because what is a good antenna for a backpacker? And another one in the same vein, KD80CL Randall says, any leads on where to find plans to build a portable dipole? Maybe those kind of can join together, Gordo, and maybe you can give a nice answer for them. Go ahead.
All right. Well, commercially, Buddy Pole and the Ventana are wonderful portable antennas for backpackers. They the Ventana drops all the way down to, gosh, no more than about a 2 feet long. And 468 divided by the frequency in megahertz and put your feed point in the center after you cut the two wires. That's the best way to calculate a half-wave dipole. ARRL Antenna Handbook's got all the details. Back to you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Gordo, so much for your answer. And you're always tan, so I can't comment on that. You're always out in the sun. Nice job on that. Okay, and I just wanted to say, Web8875, he says, can we get the name of the manufacturer of the solar panel? So I'm going to put that out there. And it was answered from our very own K9 MIT Chip, who's always been in the chat room since I've been there anyway. He says it's called Power Film Solar. Power Film Solar is the manufacturer of the solar panel, and www.powerfilmsolar.com makes the flexible panels, I guess, that was seen here. So I thought I'd just do that. And another congratulations goes out to KD2BWC. He says, I got my general 2 weeks ago. All thanks to Ham Nation for getting me into this great hobby. Thank you to you all. Thank you to you all. And I wanted to let you know everybody have inspired this person, and we hope to inspire all of you to get your license and continue on to getting the next grade and the extra class ultimately, like I need to get my extra. But needless to say, congratulations. And how about this last question? I'd like to see if either Bob, you or George, you might have an answer for VE7WNK. His name is Bob, too. And he says, can you ask what video editing software they would recommend? I know it's not really a ham question, but do you have any thoughts on that? Let's start with you, Bob. Go ahead.
Well, we should have brought Dale into this one. I just use what's in my Apple, and it works great. And just the iMovie, and that's all I need. It's got all the titles and all the other stuff that you can do and so on. George, what do you use a very sophisticated program, I know. And what is that?
Yeah, well, I know you use an Apple, and I think the pro software there would be a Final Cut Pro. And I use a PC, and I've used... let's see, Adobe Premiere Elements, which is the home version. Got tired of it crashing, though, so got rid of that and went with Sony Vegas Movie Studio. And that's a home package and not very expensive, and it worked great. And then I upgraded to Sony Vegas Pro to gain a few additional features it had. So that's what I like. But Adobe Premiere is a good one, too, if you're willing to spend the money.
Yeah, thank you. We'll have to get Dale back in there on that. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Very good. And one last question, Bob. I think you might have some expertise in this area. I'm going to pose this question from KB9FQJ. Steve, he says, have you tried any tropo ducting at all along Lake Michigan or any place, Bob? I have no experience in it, but I heard it's done pretty good in Milwaukee and Chicago. Only hearing that on the HF band. What about you?
No, I haven't. The tropo ducting dude is out on Costa Mesa. Well, you know anything about the guys across the lake, Gordo?
Oh, yeah. Milwaukee works all the way across the lake easy during the summer. Next week, everybody, tropo ducting. And we'll show you how we make 2,500 miles on 2 meters for 3 days.
Wow. Yay. That sounds pretty neat. Do we have one time for one more little short question, Bob?
You go.
Okay. Web8875 says, Cheryl, ask about the air cannon plans or where to buy or make an air cannon. Go ahead. Anybody take that one?
Oh, there's a bunch. Just put it into Google and you'll have it. What do you got a favorite, George?
No, just search the internet. That'd be my only suggestion. There's tons of plans out there, but do so at your own risk.
Yes. One thing you can do is go to the Joplin Amateur Radio Club has a kit that they sell. Put Joplin, Missouri, Joplin Amateur Radio Club, and it'll be on their website. And that would be my first place to look. But be very careful. These things can be dangerous. And last but not least, Cheryl, running around a meadow out here for a couple of days, 8-10 hours a day, you can get a little bit of sun.
And exercise, I can imagine. It goes hand in hand, yes. Doesn't it? Well, you look great. Well, tonight we're going to be on 3847 for the after show QSO with the ICOM 7800 and full legal limit, guys. So come on in and stop by and check in. Have a QSO on 3847. I'll be looking to hear from you. Take care, everybody. 73. We'll see you next time on Ham Nation.
Be able to get on 40 meters. Not sure where they will be. You got those. Is Mike on yet, Gordo? You've been tuning around for Mike. Is he 72 tonight, something like that?
Yeah, I think we're going to be somewhere there. But tune up 20 and down 20, and you'll find Michael Garlic Mike.
Yeah. You got to tune around. I don't know if 20 meters is still open, but 14, 268, something in there. And what's a dew drop, George, and all of those, all of that information?
Yeah, for EchoLink, it's at star dew drop in star or node number 355-800. And for D-Star, it's reflector 14 module C, 73. We'll see y'all next week.
Okay, super duper. Well, thanks to all the production crew, and we'll be back here next week. And Gordo's going to teach us how to make 2,500 miles across the ocean. So thanks a lot. It's been a lot of fun this week, and we'll see you guys. Of course, I'll be at 26th and 27th. We'll be in Oklahoma City. I hope you can join us there. And there's all other kinds of places you can find each of us. So thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And we'll enjoy Ham Radio to the max because of all the help you get from the guys here on Ham Nation. And thanks, Leo Laporte, for the bandwidth, the time. Brian, Carson, all you guys in the technical crew, we love you. We love you. 7-3, everybody. It's time to fire up all this stuff behind me. We'll talk later. This is K9EID. Bye-bye for now.